Well, hello everybody. Welcome to yet another exciting episode in our podcast. We are going through a self-authored book, Sermons from the Fount, and it's part one that I'm reading from, and it's called Fountain of Life. Remember, these are sermons that we preached in the church, in Redemption Bible Church, and I decided to put them down on print. You can obtain the book online at any reputable online store. I repeat again, the book is Sermons from the Fount. It's written by Tommy Mtembu. Well, a hearty welcome. Greetings from Johannesburg. If you like the content of this book or the content of this podcast, may I ask that you share it, you pass it, you like it, and you can also send your comments. That will be highly appreciated. Today I'm talking about a very exciting topic called Count It All Joy. Well, I'm a South African. And South Africa was once beset by such racial prejudice and hatred that in the early 1960s, a secessionist republic was formed. Of course, colonization had started 300 years earlier, and so discrimination and polarization became institutionalized. The black majority was made to endure many years of apartheid as violence, lawlessness, and injustice escalated. Darkness befell the country. By the time the 80s came, the country was on the precipice of hell. As the oppression tightened its noose around the oppressed, their resolve to free themselves equally increased. The people stood up to fight on their own. All sorts of freedom songs were sung during this time. One such song called all to stand up and be counted so as to defeat the oppressor. The songs helped to galvanize the people into a unified, brave mass of opposition. When such songs were sung in the eyes of the singer, the oppressor's guns vanished. Tanks became like anthills, and even children joined the fight against the might of the army with, believe you me, stones. The battle cry became the rallying point of power and strength, and people power prevailed. This undoubtedly is a gross oversimplification of what ultimately led to the demise of apartheid. This narrative motivates me to write about how we can overcome trials. The tale of South Africa is that of how the spirit of self-sacrifice in the midst of mounting trials can lead to victory. The spirit of perseverance finally won over the spirit of annihilation. Leaders like Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo, Robert Sobukwe, Steve Biko, and others never gave up, even though things looked impossible. They had the foresight to see a secure future against all odds. They counted their suffering as nothing compared to the gains that lay ahead. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials. Now, blessings always follow trials. As Christians, we'll be faced with many trials and temptations in our lives. We all began a journey of perseverance when we became Christians. For this reason, we need to arm ourselves so we can withstand the temptations the devil throws at us daily. The word says, the man who perseveres under trials is blessed in James 1:12. Which means that the Christian life is a life of perseverance. We each need to take a vow of perseverance because there are going to be various storms in this life. When Jesus came down to earth, he knew he only had 3.5 years to accomplish his mission. He also knew that he was going to have to persevere until the very end, yes, even unto death. At some stage in your life, you have to make the resolution to stand your ground against all odds. Not one of us is exempt from life's tribulation. Somehow, along the way, we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death as described in Psalm 23, and none of us can escape that. The above scripture in James 1:12 admonishes us to stand our ground and be rooted. However tough things are going in your life at the moment, just stand. When the devil has given you a hard slap and you are mocked on every side, when many say there is no hope for you, even then, stand. There is a promise for those who keep standing in Ephesians 6:13. Even though you might be broken, remember one thing, you are not devalued. When my father retired from the company he had worked in for 25 years, he received a gold watch as a reward for his long service. The watch broke at some point, and we took it for repairs. To our surprise, we found out that the watch was very expensive. Yes, it was broken, but still expensive. It wasn't working, but it was valuable nonetheless. It was so expensive, in fact, that we could not afford the cost of repairing it. This watch serves as a metaphor for our own lives. There comes a time when trials take their toll on us and we are broken. The devil can come into your life and leave you utterly broken spiritually. Whatever condition the trials of life have left you in, as long as you have Jesus in your heart, you are still valuable. You might be a broken watch, but you are valued. God so values you that he promises that after you have persevered, you'll be blessed with a crown. He so values you that he gave his only begotten son for you, according to John 3:16. If you have been to a graduation ceremony, you know that the graduates walk with such eagerness to the front as if someone may take their crown. Let the same be true in your life. Act like there's someone out there to take your crown. Run, and don't let anything stop you from getting it. This crown is reserved for those who qualify. The standard practice at universities is that one must meet certain requirements and criteria before one can write the final exam. There's a minimum mark one has to obtain as due performance before one can go through. Resolve not to live a minimal mark life. It would be sad indeed to find you have gained a crown of wood or paper after many years of being a Christian. For us to gain anything of value in life, we have to persevere and go through the mill. It's only after we have been able to stand and withstand everything that has come against us that we are going to get the crown. Let us not suffer so much in the world for nothing. I refer you to Galatians chapter 3, verse 4. Now let me tell you that love is the test. The crown God promises is a crown of life. It will represent us for the rest of our heavenly lives. If you know someone who wears a particular perfume, you are able to tell they were in a particular room even after they've left. So it should be with us. Our scent must be a sweet-smelling aroma unto God that he can recognize us with. We are working towards the crown of life in everything that we do. With every little prayer you utter on someone else's behalf, with every act of kindness, you are ensuring that your crown is shining in heaven. The type of crown we receive depends on the love we show towards God and our fellow beings. The sacrifices we make serve as a great memorial which goes into the making of our crowns. Our level of perseverance will be shown in the type of crown that God will bestow upon us. The amount of input we make towards God's work on earth will reflect in the type of crown we receive as our output. The amount of love, dedication, and endurance we put in, even under the most adverse circumstances, will result in a crown of life. God is looking at the spiritual quality of our lives and is keeping a record of the perseverance he has seen. My prayer is that when he looks at us, he should be able to say, "There goes my son or daughter in whom I trust and I am glad." Live your life in such a way that you can enter the heavenly gates boldly with nothing to be afraid of. Make sure you make a great expectation of good from the Lord. Fight for a position among those who will be found to have stood the test of time. Walk the walk and do the will of God to the end. I'm going to read James 1, 2-5, which will explain to us how to overcome. My brethren, count it all joy when you face diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, it shall be given unto you. Now this verse teaches us a few things. The first thing is that we should always rejoice. We all want to be happy in life. However, life is in no short supply of things that can steal our joy. Be that as it may, circumstances do not have to take away our joy. The scripture says that even under the most trying of times, we should count it all joy. Now there's a paradox, if there ever was one. This goes against the whole grain of human understanding. Many Christians will give up on God because of life's tribulations. They don't realize that no temptation is greater than the Jesus inside their hearts. Nothing is so difficult that we cannot carry on with our life in God. The above text simply means that no circumstances around us has to determine our joy or affect our intimacy with him. It also makes it clear that we are going to face diverse temptations, not one or two, but many. The last temptation is always setting you up for the next, so you can be a victorious Christian. We must understand that when Satan sees the power of God at work in our lives, or sees us overcoming certain situations, he definitely doesn't count it all joy. Instead, he goes into reinforcement mode and enlists a greater number of demons and our enemies to descend upon us. However, we have a weapon that withstands anything the devil throws at us, that's the joy of the Lord. You will feel down sometimes, but it doesn't have to permeate your spirit. Whatever adverse situation we face as children of God, we know is temporary. He is a hedge around us. He's our help. In our helplessness, this is why we are able to stand under any tempest. Let the joy of the Lord percolate your spirit, because his joy brings his presence and strength. You can see this from Philippians 4:1 and Psalms 21, verse 1. What does Habakkuk say? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This scripture describes a life caught in a severe famine. Yet this man says he will rejoice in the Lord. It's very easy to give up when you find yourself in one of life's famines, when you don't see the result of your labor. The temptation is to leave the way of God. But Habakkuk says he's still going to go forward with the Lord despite the dire situation. Sometimes the trees in our lives yield no fruit, and our efforts seem to be in vain. But the word says, even if we don't reap any fruit, we can rejoice in the Lord. When we rejoice, we call the presence of God into our situation. When we call upon the name of the Lord with joy, he comes and changes the situation. Circumstances do not make us who we are. God does. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 says, and they departed from the presence of the council, knowing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, if you'll excuse me. The second thing is that we must learn to maintain the right perspective in order to maintain our joy. Here we find Jesus' disciples, after they were beaten and thrown in jail, they had just suffered a lot of atrocities, yet in all this, they maintained the right perspective. They recognized that they were suffering for the sake of the Lord's name. So even if the devil comes against you, even if you are in the most desperate situation, you can still rejoice. You must remember that Jesus is the one fighting the battle for you. He is more than able to help you, whatever the situation. The third thing is we have to learn to withstand the pressure. A diamond is created from a lot of pressure, from many hard rocks bearing hard upon one rock. There is no substance known unto man that is harder than a diamond. This is because it has withstood a lot of pressure. If you want to be the jewel in the crown, you must withstand the pressure. This precious gem is indestructible even under the most tremendous conditions, and its value is ageless. Why? It took all the pressure and trauma necessary for its formation. What will your legacy be after all is said and done? Will you have withstood the pressure and temptations thrown at you? Will you still be shining bright like a diamond? Point four. Learn the ultimate lesson of patience. Verse 3 of James 1 says that all these trials come to teach us patience. Patience, therefore, is the work that is always in progress in our lives. It's only after we have learned patience that God will come and remove the trial. The reason why some temptations last long in our lives is because we still haven't learned to be patient. Point number 5. We have to ask God for wisdom. James 1:5 says, give us the underlying secret of overcoming trials and temptations. We just have to ask God for wisdom. Sometimes we find ourselves in so much turmoil that we forget to ask the one who is able to calm the storm around us as he leads us in his wisdom. The scripture says that we can ask God for wisdom in whatever area we lack. He has the answer to every one of our problems. He's able and prepared to give you whatever you need liberally. The only condition is that we ask in faith. We need to believe that he is able to do for us all that we need him to. Sometimes we believe God, but we believe in part. We are not fully persuaded that when he says we can ask for anything, he means anything. God does not withhold any good from his children. He owns creation. Everything belongs to him. We can ask him to make a way for us in every trial and temptation, and as per his word, he shall provide. Look at Hebrews 10:34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So we learn a few things from the suffering of Paul here. There is no other man that you will read about in the New Testament who was more persecuted than Paul. Yet this man is responsible for writing more than two-thirds of the New Testament. Is proof that the persecutions we go through produce gems in our lives. He is the quintessential example of persevering under extreme pressure. His is the perfect voice to call all of us to rejoice in trials. Here is a man who was oppressed ever so severely for the sake of the gospel. When you read the last few chapters of the book of Acts, you will see the afflictions Paul went through. He was often in bonds. He was stoned and left for dead. And at some point, he got shipwrecked. These are just a few of the many atrocities he suffered. So it is in our lives sometimes. The winds of life can so buffet us that we are left shipwrecked spiritually. There are situations in life that are so desperate, so hopeless, that we can see the end is near. Yet the word of God says that we must count it all joy. Let me tell you a short story about a certain animal that fell into a well. The well was so deep that the animal was left stranded with no way out. Eventually, after many futile attempts, his owners gave up on him and left him to die a natural death. As can be expected, the well became useless and people started using it for waste disposal. Little by little, all sorts of refuse accumulated around the animal, and everyone assumed it was just a matter of time before he died. Some threw rocks at the poor thing in an effort to put it out of its misery. However, something unexpected began to happen. Unbeknown to everyone, the more rubbish they dumped, the shallower the well became. And so, as more and more garbage was thrown into the pit, the animal stepped on it and started going up gradually until one day, it raised its head and could see the people outside, much to its delight. One day, someone came with a load of dirt and held it down the well as usual. The animal was very grateful for this load of rubbish raining down on him, because on that day he was able to climb out of the pile. He used the very dirt thrown down at him to get himself out of a very bad situation. He counted it all joy and used his troubles to elevate himself and get out. As the rocks and dirt kept coming, Mr. Animal saw an opportunity. He saw his way out. The same is true in our lives today. Whatever rocks are thrown at us, we can use them to get to a better position. Listen to the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Beloved, think it is not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also exceedingly. So, from the fire, we can actually get into glory. Sometimes it feels like fire has come into your life to consume your very substance. Let us learn to look at life's hardships and say, I will still rejoice. So if disease has come into your life, look at it and resolve to rejoice. If poverty, persecution, or grief come knocking at your door, rejoice. Look at all these things and say, I'm counting it all joy. When you are troubled, we tend to think others lack understanding or empathy for our situation. We may even lose interest in what they have to say. But today, take note and believe Jesus when he says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. My last scripture is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 39. And finally then, Paul reminds us of the following. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourself in heaven. Therefore, do not cast your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. So may God bless you. We'll meet again next time. It is Tomi Mtembo signing off from Johannesburg. Thank you for listening.